Book of Revelation, the 8th chapter. You'd like to turn over with us. It is said, and when the 7th seal was opened, there was silence in heaven about the space of 30 minutes. I know a lot of people wonder, you know, when you talk about the 7th seal being opened, and we're not trying to preach on the 7th seal. I didn't have that in mind, even though we've commented on all the seals, and we have made it explicit as to the seals and what they had to do with, as we have talked to the brethren out of the church. I don't get to talk too much on anything like that, because that is in the church, because the people don't have the patience, though they're good people, some of the best in the world that come here, but they don't have the patience to really get into the spiritual depths of things like we need to. Now, this morning there was a hunger for spiritual things, and we got into a few things this morning. But then having a mixed congregation, and when I say a mixed congregation, that is to say that we have not as men and women, but we have people coming who don't come to church too regular, and they don't know very much about spiritual things. And so when you get into these, you say a few things and they are completely lost. And then you're trying to back up and say a few things, and then you get topsy-turvy as to be able just to follow through as to a stream of thought in a continuity. So it makes it real difficult. But one thing that we need to be aware of, and that is God is a spirit. The one thing that we need to be aware of is that God is a spirit. He is the invisible God, and he is a spirit. Now, you know, to say spirit to some people, that's like saying nothing. They don't know nothing about the spirit world. They don't know there is a spirit world. As far as they're concerned, there isn't a spirit world. That whatever there is, it's right here. And that's all there is, and that's all they know. And they spend all of their life in the natural. Their natural thinking, their natural doing, eating and buying and selling and going and whatever. And they are what the Bible calls bonds children. There was two children born in Abraham's family. One of them was a free child and one of them was a bonds child. And the free child was born of Sarah. It was a child by promise because she was somehow or another, she was past bearing children, even by age. And Abraham was past giving life to a child. And so then the child that was born was a free child, a child of promise. But the bonds child of Hagar was a child called a bonds child when Paul refers back to it, because it was by a bonds maid. And Sarah, not really holding to the promise of God like that she should have, or the faith of Abraham, as we would say, to bring about that promise, then she encouraged Abraham to go in unto the bondsmaid that she might have a child. And then when she realized that the conception came and she had a child of her own, then she hated herself, as we would say, for what she had done. And she wanted to blame Abraham with it. And then Abraham was grieved because it was his child and it was her doings that caused it all. And he was trying to honor his wife. And then she said, "I don't want that bonds child around my child. I don't want it around my child. It's not going to be heir with my child." And it was very grievous to Abraham. And she wanted to run the bondsmaid off, and she wanted to run the child off, because the bondsmaid had been mocking her and the child had been mocking her because she was barren. And the bondsmaid got to feeling like Abraham belonged to her, and so there was a problem. Well, anyway, it was so grievous. But God said, "Abraham, go ahead. Send the child out. I'll take care of it. I'll make a great nation of it." And so it was that the child went out, as you know how the story goes, and the bondsmaid, and then when she grew weary, the water was given out, and she found herself in a certain place, and she didn't have no help, and she didn't have no hope, and she knew the child was just going to die, so she took it off away from her about a bow shot, and she laid it there under one of the shrubs, and sitting down to die, and began to weep, to moan. There was no help at all. And then a voice spoke and called her name and told her that everything would be all right and that this child would grow up and be a leader, a great, mighty man among the nation. And it was said, God, thou hearest me. So, you know, this seemed like a hard, crucial thing for her to go through with, and yet she wasn't to blame for it. And then as to the mocking, she was to blame for it because she didn't want to honor Sarah anymore when she was her bondsmaid. And the bondsmaid, of course, was one that went along with the women as to if there was a marriage, it was supposed to be like a midwife. Well, anyway, in many cases, the midwives were married. And in this case, God allowed that, though it seemed like a hard thing. And yet it had to be a punishment because of Abraham's wrong. And it was a hard thing, but God had to do that Abraham should have two wives and have two kind of children, just like Esau and Jacob. And it had to be of two different women. And the reason for that is because God, who is the great spirit, works all things after the counsel of his own will. And there had to be one woman that was a bondsmaid to show a natural child born into the world by a natural birth, which would be the people as to the generations of the world who are born into this world from their first birth as through Adam. So in Adam all die. And in that it was the human senses, as the five human senses, that makes us subject to the world. Then the creature, which is the body, is made subject to the vanity of this world. Therefore, the Bible says the creature is made subject to vanity, not by its own desire or will, but by him, God, who has subjected the same in hope, which would take a long time to go into as to Revelation. But anyway, this creature is subject to bondage. It's of the dust and it goes back to the dust. Adam, thou art of the dust, from the dust thou art taken, and to the dust thou shalt return. And then, as I say, though this is hard to conceive of, as to the human family, to tell them this, they can't conceive nothing like this, naturally speaking. And you tell this to the professors and you tell this to the average individual in the world, though they might be great in knowledge and understanding and wealth and whatever, they still don't even know what you're talking about. But the people that are born of Adam are called a generation of vipers. Jesus said, O generation of vipers, how shall you escape the damnation of hell? Seeing that you do these things that I told you not to do, that others have done, and now they've received the judgment of God, and now you go do it. How can you escape the damnation of hell? And he said, ye are a generation of vipers. Upon your belly, he said to the viper, shall ye go all the days of your life, and dust shall ye eat. And so it is that the generation of people have been put upon their bellies, as I said this morning, and all of their labor is for their belly and for their mouth, because their belly craves it of them. And so the spirit of Satan, as to the old serpent in the garden, the beast that was changed to a serpent, placed on his belly, this spirit that got into him got into Adam. And in getting into Adam, it was a projection from the tree of knowledge through a medium of the serpent to get into the woman and then into Adam. And thus Adam, from the dust, put into the east part of the Garden of Eden, illuminated with the Shekinah, called the Son of God by the radiance of the glory that was interwoven with his understanding. When this understanding withdrew because of his iniquity, then he had the sentence of death within his body. So in Adam, all die. And we brought out this morning of why that in the olden countries, they wear the veil as it was with the veil over Moses' face. And why it is like that, because it has to do with the body of the Jews, which has to do with Mount Sinai, even that that gendereth under bondage. And so it was said concerning these women, Paul looking at the revelation, he said, and Hagar answereth to Mount Sinai, said, which now is and is in bondage with her children, referring back to the Jews, because it is the Jews that is under the law. And the law comes from Mount Sinai, and the law is a bondage. And the Jews feel like they keep the law. When Paul told them, when he got the revelation, he said, you have the law, but none of you keep the law. Though I'm blameless as touching the law, being as Christ, he said, none of you keep the law. And so then they cleave to the law, and the law is the worst thing that ever happened to them. Because Paul said, I was alive as a Jew. I was alive without the law, and when the law came, sin revived, and I died. And that which was ordained unto life, I found to be unto death. He said, because the law is holy, it's godly, it's spiritual. He said, but I'm carnal, sold unto sin. And that which I would not do, then I find myself doing that. And that I want to do, he said, I find that I don't do that. So the good that I do not, and that evil which I would not, that I do. Oh, wretched man that I am, he said, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And Jesus going to Calvary delivered us from that body, delivered for our offenses, raised again for our justification. And today we're justified by grace through faith. And it's not of works, not of yourself, but it is the Lord Jesus Christ, his blood to take away the sins of the world, to call on the name of the Lord Jesus, to believe. The Bible says it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. Because when we call upon the name of the Lord in all sincerity, the great loving Holy Spirit, even the Spirit of Christ, comes down on the inside. And then when it comes down on the inside, we find we are born again. We sing that song, born again, free from sin. I am happy night and day. So we see that Hagar answereth unto bondage, and the Jews accepting the law and still confident in themselves that they are guides of the blind. They are leaders that strain at a gnat and swallow a camel, and they killed all the wise men that was ever sent to them. And they finally gave sent to the crucifixion of the Messiah himself, God in human form. So then the law, having the law, they can't perform it. But Christ in the body of Jesus fulfilled the law, folded it up, laid it away. And then that Spirit of Christ coming into our heart has performed through love, as to the love of God, the fulfillment of the law. For love fulfills the law. Love, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not do all these things. And love fulfills every one of them. Because if you love your neighbor as yourself, you won't do those things. If you love the Lord with all your heart, you just don't do those things. So love worketh no ill to its neighbor. But Hagar, the bondswoman, as to Jerusalem, even until this day, is blinded in part. And God has suffered that until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. Now, with the government falling like it has and turning loose the hippies, as to what Paul referred to as the base type of people. And when I say that, I know that there is a lot of young girls and boys that's mixed up with dope and those kind of things that came from fine families, even religious families, and some from broken families where so much marriage that nobody cares for them. And they just get out and they learn to wander. And they could be elect seed. They could be God's people that's in these kind of things and have to repent of their sins or find the real gospel to come to Christ. See, and they do this every day. They come to the Lord. They come to their senses and they come to God. You can't go with this thing, I am elect, and continue in the world and the things of the world and feel like, well, I'm elect, everything's going to be all right, because you'll die and go to hell. The proof of your election is, the Bible said, make your calling sure, make your election sure by proving these things, that you can be born again, that he will hear you, that the Spirit of Christ can come into your heart, and that in coming into your heart, that you will live a Christian life, a holy life, Christ-like. Because if Christ is in you, then that means that is the life of the Son of God that is holy and godly and pure, that doesn't run after the world and the old tree of knowledge. It goes after the will of the Father, and it walks in revelation, like Paul said, and I went up to visit with Peter by revelation. And it follows the revelation of the Son of God, the pure, wonderful, unadulterated knowledge of God. It's clean, it's holy, it's godly, it's upright, it's holy in spirit and in body. Well, anyway, there are those, and then there are the others that are the abased type, that's nothing but sodomites and gays and lesbians and these kind of things, which Paul said is the abased type that does nothing but cause problems in the world. And God said, I will pursue them till they perish from off of the face of the earth, unless they find a deliverance and get that demon spirit, that's a demon spirit, to get that demon spirit out of their lives and to turn their bodies loose, and then God can fill them with the Spirit of the Lord, cleanse them and make them holy, and they won't desire those kind of things anymore. Well, anyway, as to the Jews, even at this time, I understand that they're allowing these things into their military. They're blinded in part until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. Now we see the church ages coming to a close. We see this abased government that's been raised up. We see America split to pieces and everything going wrong. And the farther the leader goes, the worse mess he gets the whole country into. And the people are just paranoid. They don't know what to do. He's taken away our liberties. One at a time, he's taken them away. And he is boycotting and overcoming the people of the world to the extent that he's becoming a dictator, which we said that he would be of the devil. God would raise him up. I felt like that he would go in and that he would split the nation. And that when he did, that he turned the whole world into a garbage can, as we say, not only America, but the whole world. And that he would loose, as it would be, those evil powers from the bottomless pit. And that he would turn all these things loose and give them their freedom. And of course, that's exactly what he's done. And he's continuing to corrupt. Well, anyway, as to the base type, this is the thing that we're speaking of. The Jews under the law, they are transgressors, because where there is a law, there's a transgression. Because the Bible said no flesh shall be justified by the law, not even the Lord Jesus Christ, who fulfilled every jot and tittle. He wasn't justified by the law. Being our example as to a fleshly being and coming in the form of a servant, though he kept every jot and tittle of it, he wasn't justified by the law. To be our example, he had to be justified by the grace of God. Not I that doeth the work, but the Father within me. He doeth the work. And it is said, great is the mystery of godliness. For God, the great eternal spirit, was manifested in a human body as flesh. He was justified in the spirit. He was seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, and caught up into heaven. So then he was justified in the spirit and not by the law. So the bond child in this world today is under the law. They that have fallen from grace are under the law. And when you're not born again and you're in the world and you come to the knowledge of grace and you don't receive the grace of God as to the righteousness of the Lord Jesus, there is no more hope for you. Only the fearful looking forward to of the fire indignation of God that shall devour his adversaries. So there's no hope for you, and you are under the law because you've fallen from grace. And all is under the law, because all are transgressors of the law, and nobody can keep the law. It's not a matter of you working your way in. We preached this morning as to the life of God through faith being given to you. See, and the justification by faith in Christ Jesus. You be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. This is the thing that overcometh the world, even your faith. That is the victory. So when we look back and we see the two people going up into the temple, and we see one saying, I thank thee, God, that I fast, and I thank thee that I pray, and I pay tithe of all that I possess, and I'm not like this publican over here. You know, and we see the publican saying, oh God, have mercy on me. I am a sinner. And he didn't have anything to offer. And the Bible says this man that did all those religious things went down to his house and he went unsaved, and he went without the love of God, and God would pay no attention to all that he had done. But this man that was a sinner, that had nothing to offer, that just said, Lord, have mercy on me, like the man there at the cross when he said, remember me, O God, when you come into your kingdom, or Lord, remember me. And Jesus said, this day shall thou be with me in paradise. So then when the publican went away, the Bible said he went away justified, because it's not of works, lest any man should boast. And the Jews sought it as though it was by works, and they stumbled at that stumbling stone that God had laid in Zion. For he said, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever falleth on this stone shall be broken, but upon whomsoever this stone falls, it shall grind him to powder. So then we see the bonds child, and who is the bonds child that is fallen from grace today? It is the human family through the fall of Adam, and to have the sentence of death within them. As to the carnal mind, as to the tree of knowledge, it is death. To be carnally minded, whether you're intellectually brilliant or whatever you might be, you are still dead in trespasses and sin while you live. But to have the mind of Christ, to be born again, and the Bible said, let this mind be in you, it was also in Christ Jesus. And that's the biblical mind of faith in God, as to learn his ways and to follow him. That is life, that is peace, for the word is spirit and life. So then we see that the woman, as to the bond child, Israel, represents you. For the Bible said the whole house of Israel shall be saved. God will open their eyes. And when God opens their eyes, they won't be bonds children. They're only numbered with you now as the body of the Lord Jesus, which we'd have to go into Revelation to explain that. And we do have some of it on tape in different places. But nevertheless, it is the world today that's never been born again. Having heard the gospel, they'll be guilty. The Jews did not know that Jesus was Messiah. God allowed them to be like that so that you would have a chance, because if they had have accepted Jesus as the Messiah, that would have been the end of things right there at Calvary. But putting them out, it gave God a chance to bring you in. And this great, wonderful America that we call the New World, discovered by Columbus, and in the 1400s, and we find that we have a new world. And Martin Luther, he brought over the real Christian religion as from the early church when he nailed the thesis on the door there concerning the papacy, his theses, and defied the Council of Worms. And we have what we call the protesting church, the Protestant church, or that which protested against the Catholic religion. And today, many Catholic people are seeing that, and they're turning to real, genuine Christianity. To repent of their sins, to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, because there is remission in none other name. Coming to pass that salvation beginning at Jerusalem to the uttermost parts of the world preached in his name. Coming to pass that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. As it was said to Paul, be baptized, Paul, or wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we go along, talking about a little bit of Revelation tonight, we can't get much in because we don't have very much time. This is what I was speaking of in our earlier thought here. But we have to put a little meat and we have to put a little milk. And then we have to preach a message of repentance interwoven with this, because there are people that are still searching for God. And we have to keep reminding them of how to be born again. So then we see Hagar, back to the Revelation. We see Hagar, and we see that she represents Jerusalem. And in all reality, she represents the world, which is the children of bondage. And how are they in bondage? They're in bondage to the law because they're fallen from grace. Now, how are they in bondage is the way that you and I would term a bondage. By the medium of their five human senses, because they are like an animal. You trace the origin back to the beast, even the garden, even as science has done. So then you find that they're in bondage to taste and hearing and smell and feeling. As to their sight, the five human senses. And they are upon their belly. And their five human senses makes them relative to the thrills of union of male and female. It makes them thrilled to the eating and drinking and the filling of the belly and the listening to this wild, crazy stuff they call music of today. And all of this wooing of the flesh, of always singing about the male and the female. You know, their whole life in a bondage and in a wilderness. And they spice it up with a little drink and a little dope. And they're just wandering stars. They can't keep themselves together. They can't get control of themselves. They just wander everywhere, always lusting, you know, and always going after the flesh because Satan is the god of this world. He's the spirit of Lucifer. He savors the things that be of the flesh because God has cut him out of the heavenly world. And in this world is the only place that he hath control. And we don't know that this world is darkness, but it is intellectual darkness of ignorance as to God and no spiritual understanding. With all of their religious ritualistic, they still don't know and don't understand God. But the Bible said, ye are the light of the world. You're the children of light. Ye are not children of darkness. This light shines in the darkness of this intellectual world, but the darkness cannot comprehend it. But the Bible said we comprehend the heights and the depths and the width and the length of this great marvelous light because we are children of light. Therefore, the day shall not come upon us unaware of the coming of the Lord as it will to the world. For as a snare shall it come upon all of them that dwell on the earth, because they're not going to know when it's nigh, but we know when it's near, even at the door. So then we find that the world is the bond's children, and they can't get away from their human senses. And this keeps them in bondage to the flesh and to the desire of the world. But we are spiritual children. Our body is dead by the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. The Bible said, delivered for our offenses, we are crucified with him. And we are buried in baptism in his name with him. And having been buried with him, we are resurrected from the dead as to being raised for our justification in a new form, leaving the old form of sin, that he came in as to the form of a servant, and now the resurrected one as to the Shekinah of Adam before he fell, when Adam was called the Son of God, being a figure of him that was to come. So we are born again. We're not beasts. We're born of God's bone, and we're flesh of God's flesh, in that Jesus Christ was the body of the great spirit God. So God, who is a great spirit, as to an embodiment, he had the body of Lord Jesus. He dwelt within that tabernacle that was in the wilderness of the intellectual mind, as it would be said of you and I. And yet that was the beautiful temple of God, because Jesus, that was the mind of God being our example. Today, we are bone of his bone. We are flesh of his flesh. This is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And having the sentence of death in our body, now that body's passed away. And the law which brings us under bondage to death because of the things that demands that we do that we can't measure up to, today we can measure up to it by the grace of God. And Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Or we could say the body of the beast is to the first birth. Now Jesus has gone to Calvary. The body is gone into dividing asunder as to the rent veil. And with this, the body is now buried. It's dead. It's gone. It's despised. It's rejected. And them that are not born again, God said, I'll despise your image in the morning, because you are the natural as from Adam, as to the old beast, and you are the bastard child, that out of wedlock. So we know that Jesus Christ was the beginning of the creation of God. And we're born of Christ, and we're bone of his bone, and we're flesh of his flesh. We are the children of light. We are the children of God. We are hid with Christ, and we are those that sit in heavenly places. So we know that the bondsmaid then is the world. We know that that's the bondsmaid, but God has made a great nation of them, a great people throughout the world. He hath made a great people, because it goes back to Abraham's children as the Jews being symbolic. And it was said concerning Abraham, and this, of course, the Jews missed because they didn't understand. It was said, and through thy seed, Abraham, all nations shall be blessed, which took in America, which took in Germany, which took in Japan. It took in the Israelites. Through thy seed, Abraham, shall all nations be blessed. Or through thy seed, Isaac. Symbolic is pointing to Christ Jesus, the promised seed. Through Christ Jesus shall all nations be blessed. For he shall die for the sins of the people. And the blood of Jesus shall cover the whole earth like a blanket over everybody to where God cannot see their sins for a season, as to put the blood on the seat of atonement, that this great thing of the blood covenant and the mercy seat might be there through a period of time, call the church ages, that people might have a chance to repent, to come into this light that is shining His grace over them, making allowance for their wrong until they can come to the light of the gospel. Even as the Jews, Paul said, God hadn't concluded them in unbelief, that they might not be chargeable until the day they come to the knowledge of the Messiah. From then on, they're chargeable. So then, as the world comes to the knowledge of the sin that they're guilty of, then the Bible said, coming to the knowledge of truth, they're therefore guilty. And after they come to the knowledge of truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but only the fearful looking forward to the fire indignation of God that shall vile the adversaries. Hey, God. The bondsmaid is the world. And we know the blood is on the seat of atonement, but does the world regard that? Does the world try to straighten up their crooked ways? Does the world try to leave off with the ugliness? Where's He said unto you and I, come out of the world, be a separate people, touch not the unclean things, and I'll receive you, saith the Lord. For all that is of the world, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the flesh, all these things, they'll pass away because they're but vanity. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Ye there that dwell in heaven, you're not of the world. I've chosen you out of the world, hid you with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the restoring of all things. So we see the bondsmaid, and we understand the bondsmaid. We see that you are subject to bondage. You're on your belly, the generation of Abraham. But we that are born again, we are the free child. We are born by promise. Christ, Paul said, I've begotten you. As a father in the gospel of Christ, the word, the seed of God, his Christ, his seed remaineth in us. And we cannot sin because we're born of God, justified by faith through Jesus Christ, filled with the spirit of life, having passed from death unto life, because we have the spirit of quickening, even Christ, which is eternal life. And the Lord said, your spirit is to your life. Your little breath of life is nothing but the candle of the Lord, searching out the inward part. That is giving God a chance to scope out things and look in there and see if you're going to be clean in heart, or if you're going to have an evil heart of unbelief. You're going to have clean thoughts, holy thoughts. Where's the Bible said, charity thinketh no evil. See, and it's the bond of perfectness. And God is scoping out the inside of you with the candle, which is the little flame of the breath of life. That's all you've got, is the breath of life. And your life is in your nostrils. Close up your nostrils, close your mouth, a little shot, you're gone, no more life. And God said, unless you do the things I tell you to do, I will remove your candlestick. I'll just put your light out. But with this eternal flame of the Spirit of Christ and the candle of the Lord, this beautiful light, we will never die. We pass from death unto life. Our spirit man is sealed in Christ. It is eternal. It can never die. And it's working its way out through the transformation of this understanding from glory to glory unto a full ultimatum, as to a diplomacy, that this life which is given to us in Christ, as to the heavenly treasure in the earthen vessel, might make itself manifest in our mortal genes, under the change, even as that body that was on Mount Transfiguration that was like the noonday sun. Now, we're looking then at the next woman, the free woman. It's little wonder why Paul said, this is heavenly Jerusalem, the mother of us all, being symbolic, that is, and the other being symbolic of Mount Sinai. So then, here are the children of liberty. Here are the children of light. Here are the children of faith. We live by faith. The just live by faith. If any man draws back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. We're the children of faith. We are eternal. And Jesus called ye gods. For he said, ye are gods. For a God is something that can't die. A God that lives on and on. And I make this statement again. So often I make this because it is a real thing of simplicity. If a dog is born as to a little pup, it is a dog. If an elephant is born as to a little one, it is an elephant. If a lion is born as of a little one, it is a lion. And if a man is born as of a little one, it is a man, because it was begotten by a man. And when a son of God is born, it is a God, because God says we are sons of God. Now, beloved, are ye the sons of God, John said. So, though we don't know what we look like as to the change of the body, it's coming. When the Jews come in and the blindness is gone from them, the body will be changed. And we'll see that we are gods that outshine the brightness of the noonday. For the Bible said, he that has turned many to righteousness shall shine as the brightness of the noonday, even as the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, even as Moses' face, even as Stephen's face, when that wisdom illuminated their face. So we know that we are the free children, everyone that hath this hope within him, even Christ, the hope of that glory, he alone being made heir of that glory, will be changed at the coming of the Lord Jesus. When the heavens roll back as a scroll, and the sign of the Son of Man shall appear in heaven, which is right at hand now. So we know then this is the free child, this is the church, this is the people of God, this is that peculiar type people. Not only that, but they are a nation. They have a king, and we are a nation of people. That's why we started this off as the Washington Lincoln separation of church and state, and they fuddled the thing up and messed it up and lorded over the church, and God's going to burn their fields. When Babylon went and took the things of God away from Israel and brought Israel under bondage, God got upset and he burned their fields. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, he tore down their walls and he wrecked their places and he killed them. See, and he made an open expose of them. And right now, Babylon is causing this problem. That's why that you see Hussein. It's the old natural symbolic thing right there that's causing Israel problem. God's going to tear it to pieces. They're going to try to build it back. Satan's going to try to set up his kingdom, but God's going to tear it to pieces. And the world is a Babylon. It doesn't know anything about anything. It's just one big mess from the old tree of knowledge. And the one that's got money and the one that can pull the string or be the strongest in spirit, whether lawyer or whatever, judge or whatever, they went out in the world. And we're enslaved to these evil things of the children of bondage. And they're coming to the knowledge of God and the knowledge of the truth now, to the extent to know right from wrong, and they don't want God. And the Bible said in that they've come to know this, and then they don't like to retain God in their knowledge. God has turned them over to reprobate mind, to believe a lie and be damned, sending them strong delusions and causing them to be damned. And so today they're turned into sodomites. They're turned into all these things because they don't like to retain God in their knowledge. The Bible said they don't love light because they're not creatures of light. They love intellectual darkness as ugliness and as the vulnerable way of life and the gullible things of life. And so then, because they love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil, God has turned them over to the reprobate mind, sending them strong delusions, letting them religiously believe all is well and that God loves them in spite of whatever they do, and they will be damned. So we see the free child, this promised child, and he's working his way toward God. He's trying to please God. He's denying the flesh. He's equipping himself with a mind to suffer as to self-denial, to get away from that, to come out of the world, to join themselves to those children of light. In that evil communications corrupt good manners, they have to get away from that. And they come to the wonderful light of God, and God cleanses their sins. He takes it all away. So we find ourselves the children of light. And here we are right here in the end of the world. See, so being in the end of the world, we're ready for the change of the body. Having been tutored through the school of God and understanding of God, now we've come to a place of diplomacy. And everything's right at the time of life as to where we'll be changed that quick in a moment in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. Here we are tonight reading to you from chapter 8 as to the opening of the seals, the last seal, the seventh seal, and here is the sounding of the seven trumpets that goes on over to Revelation 10, and when it comes over there, then it said, and the last trumpet shall sound, because even at the beginning of 8, as to the chapter 8, then we find the last seal being opened, going over a little farther, Revelation 11:15, and the last trumpet of the seven trumpets. That sound, and we find it sounding, and the voice said, and the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And I would like to have said something tonight, even hurrying, I can't even get near it, but I want to say something concerning the thunders tonight, but we won't be able to do it. I've tried to get around to him a number of times, but we just don't have the time as to the audience and the routine of preaching as to the church of today. So we find then the seventh seal is open, silence in heaven. For the space of 30 minutes or half an hour. What is that? What does that mean? It means that all of a sudden, the blood that's on the seat of atonement, the mercy seat, that blood is ready to come off because God has allowed it there to give people a chance to repent. And all of a sudden, it's ready to come off. 30 minutes silent. And it was as though the angels in heaven stood in awe, and all of the earth and everything under the earth, knowing that the blood was coming off the seat of atonement. No more mercy to mankind. Man was at last at his final destination, and that the lake of fire, the judgments of God, to be cast into a burning lake of fire alive. And so then all of heaven stood in awe. For 30 minutes of silence, nobody could speak, nobody could do anything in such great awe, because as soon as this blood come off the seat of atonement, the first trumpeter as to the devastation of the earth and the judgments of God would begin to sound. And so it was taken off at the opening of the last seal. This is why that you hear the dispute concerning this thing about the man David down in Waco. There's a lot of things that we could say about Waco, our past, and some things that has to do with Waco. And revelationally bring these things about us to show why David is doing like he's doing and being able to hold off the whole world as to the United States government especially. As to doing anything that's fantastic, that's unbelievable, that can't be done. But he's doing it. Why? Because it's not him, it's God. And God is allowing that thing because they have been aggressors against him. Even though he's wrong and he shouldn't have done what he's doing, it's altogether wrong, and God will expose it and God will bring it down. But the thing is, the people that come against it, as to the government, they were aggressors. They went in there on them and they come against them. They said, well, too many wives. And I know that's right. Jesus said, you don't need to do that. Paul said, one wife, even for the minister. Not to practice polygamy. But after all, look at this generation of vipers of today, the sinful generation. They might not be married to them, but they got them by the dozens. It's just from one companion to another. And some of them just married over and over and over. See, and what about the Mormons that have so many wives? Even their leader was known to have so many wives. So see, it was his religious conviction, even in his polluted mind and perverted mind. And it is a perverted mind. And it was his conviction because it's biblical. He's got the Old Testament teachings. So we see that there were aggressors, and it wasn't because of the wives, because some of them that's coming against him, that's trying to overthrow him, and even those that are killing, they are adulterers and fornicators, and they've got all kind of wives on the side, common law wives and everything else, filled with adultery. But the thing is, it is an attack on God. It is an aggression against the things of God, not only down there as to that of David, but it is against us, and it is against every other true operation of Jesus Christ in the world that are true operations. Not just as to the fads, as to that which is cults, but calling the things of God a cult, messing with God's vessels, and God is getting ready to tear Babylon down. So we see all of these things happening as to the Jim Jones things and God doing those things. Remember I said they'll start in the church, judgment will begin in the house of God, and after God judges his people, he'll pass them through the news media and all these things and prove that they're clean, and then they'll turn on the sports and they'll turn on the government and they'll turn on all these other things, and so they've done it. And it's just been one big riffraff, and they're finding them not clean, and everything is just being torn to pieces. So the end of the world is here. Peter said, yeah, the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. The blood on the seat of the atonement is ready to come off. And coming off the trumpeters, this thing is ready to sound now as to bring the judgments of God. And what happened when those trumpets begin to sound? The Bible said the stars fell from heaven. The moon was smitten, the sun was smitten, and all of these things happened to bring about darkness into the world, and that the sea was turned into blood, and the waters was turned into blood, and the Bible said, and a star called Wormwood fell from heaven upon the waters, and they became bitter, and those that drank of the waters, then it was death. And all these things are symbolic. Remember, even as to the waters of today, John refers to people as being waters. Science say that the biggest part of the body is composed of water. And so then the bitterness of them today, the Bible said, beware lest the root of bitterness springing up within you thereby many be defiled. And people are getting more bitter at the IRS. And the Bible said in the last days they would despise government because the government is becoming rotten and all these kind of things. See, and they that take part in this is bitter unto death. For they that drink of these waters, then it is poison waters. But the Bible says God leadeth us beside the still waters. He gives us the pure waters, as it was with Elisha when he took and put the salt into the water. The Bible speaks of the church being the salt of the earth. And in putting the salt into the waters, then the waters was purified and death was taken out. Well, anyway, we know then for truth that the end of the world is here. The blood is coming off. All these things has to the bottomless pit open. And these things, the Bible speaks of these that come out of there, said they had hair like women. Whereas the Bible said they have long hair, it's a shame for a man. It is a glory unto a woman, but as to a man, it is a shame. And they come out of there having the long hair, the sting of the needle, and all these kind of things as to the baseness, as to sodomy, and all these kind of things of following the bottle and conning and stealing and cheating and swindling and murdering and all these kind of things. Those devils are in human bodies. Somebody says, well, I believe that those were demons, Brother Pike. It is demons, but you don't see demons with the natural eye. They get in human bodies. Like Jesus said to Peter when the spirit of Satan got a hold of him, he said, get behind me, Satan. When he looked at Judas and said, I've chosen 12 of you and one of you is a devil. And the Bible said he went to his place. So we know then there are walking devils and demons like legion, a legion of angels, Mary, seven devils in her. So we know that people are filled with devils. And Jesus said, ye are of your father, the devil. You do his will. You've got his mind. That spirit is in you that motivates you to lust, concupiscence, ugliness, the wrong kind of thinking. But to the pure, all things are pure. You've got the mind of Christ. He's purified your heart by faith. All things are pure, but to the defiled and unbelieving is there nothing pure. Even their conscience is defiled. So we know then that the trumpets sounding brings all these things to pass. Through the church ages, these things happening. Now we're living down there at the end of the church ages. America's government has fallen. She's become a reproach to the nations. And the government is shifting now back to Israel to go by the way of Germany to bring the beast power in and bring the old mark, the German mark, and the Carlin market in so that Lucifer, through the remaining years, can have that regime of the tribulation. The church is about ready to go out at the first of the week of the last 7 years, whereas last 7 years coming up now is to this 2,000 years. And the last 7 years, that's to the tribulation period. And at the very first of it, which would be the first of the 7 years, next year beginning, as to the natural things to the calendar. And so then it says the heavens roll back and the stars fell from heaven as a fig tree shaking its untimely fig, which is the overthrowing of Satan and the casting out of the demon spirits. And in the world, the light of God is to the grace of God withdrawing as the blood comes off of the seat of atonement. No more grace in their total intellectual darkness. And they've hardened their hearts. Even now they've hardened their hearts to where they said, we are the grateful dead and we are freaks. And they said, we love the devil and we serve the devil. See, reprobates minds and the light of God withdrawing because they've come to the knowledge of the truth and God's turning them over to a reprobate mind to believe a lie and be damned, sending them strong delusions, drinking their vomit, all these kind of things. See, so we know the stars is falling from heaven, or that is to say these people were reflectors. They were in the light of God. Just like you are true stars, natural stars represent you as true stars. And now these stars that's been in the grace of God, which I say that was in heaven, for with the grace all are in heaven. Even Lucifer was in heaven, Revelation 12. But when the grace of God is lifted as reflectors, as the sun going down, so the mirror doesn't shine anymore. And so Lucifer is not in light anymore. And those followers are not in light anymore. And those that have demons in them that can reflect this light from the grace of God, it's not there anymore because the blood comes off the seat of atonement. And only the true stars remain in the presence of God. That is to say, the day star dawning within you, even as they refer to the sun as the day star or the lion, this wonderful day star dawning within you as Christ, the Bible said, of the sun shining within his strength. This day star of this right and glorious understanding of the mind of Christ. The right way of thinking. See, and all of a sudden, you're there by yourself. You don't have to have blood on the seat of atonement. You've been born again. You're free from sin. You're happy night and day. Let him rejoice forevermore. For serving God is joy, peace, and righteousness. In the Holy Ghost, you're not under a heavy conscience. You're not under condemnation. You've got faith with God. You're clean. You're holy. You're godly. You're right. And like a little baby, The church nourishes you until you can come to your strength, and they care for you. Well, we see, and the seventh seal was opened. In mind, we could go on and go on. By the way, that reminds me, David says he can open the seventh seal. I think he's challenged Billy Graham, Old Roberts, and maybe Jerry Falwell, saying that they should come there to him, that he should open the seventh seal to them, because he can open the seventh seal, which is not true. He couldn't open nothing. He doesn't even understand it. He says, well, you don't know. Oh, yes, I do know. See, but the thing is, the world doesn't know that. And it is right now at the time of the opening of the seventh seal, because the blood comes off the seat of atonement. And because of that, then David, this man that's relating back to the Jews, even with the Jew weapon, these kind of things showing that little nation that's coming in, that's going to conquer the world and be the head of the nations that hold off the whole world. So we see that this thing is happening. Antichrist coming up with a little people and growing more powerful and great and strong, because it's not just David, but there's militant people around the world. We don't follow that. We don't act on that. We don't believe in that. We don't believe that the weapon of your warfare is carnal. We believe that it's mighty through faith that'll cast down the strongholds of the evil one, and that our God is sufficient. For the race is not to the swift, and the battle is not to the strong. It belongs to the Lord. And no weapon formed against us shall prosper, even against America, as long as she was a religious nation. But now she'll go down because she's pounced on the church. See, but all around the world, there's militant posts, and they call themselves the Minutemen, and they've got guns and grenades and all of these things, and yet they're religious people like David. And when the alarm is sounded, and they see what David is standing for, and they see how he can stand, they're going to come out of the hiding just like that. And that thing's going to chain react to bring in the Antichrist, and that move that is going to switch the government over, because I made the statement to my wife a long time back. I said, Betty, America will have a revolution. There'll be a revolt like it has been in all the other nations. Until this point, it hasn't, but it will be. And they'll be split up like splinters, which they already are, and that's what's going to bring the revolt. All right, getting ready to close here. I haven't said quite a lot here, and hurrying, which I don't like to do, but I have to do it. I don't do it with the brethren. But I have to do it with you, because a lot of you like little children. I have to hurry, just to get over a few thoughts to you. Hadn't you robbed yourself? But nevertheless, then we see the free child. We see the blood coming off, which is the expulsion of Lucifer, which is the end of the world. And we see the church ages closing. As I said, the seven coming back to the 483, some of you wouldn't understand that. But you that have heard me preach some things about the prophecy of Daniel, 490 years, determined upon the Jewish people, you do know what I'm saying. So we see the end of the church ages, America coming to a close. Her chiefly showing the church ages. We see the government shifting. We see the powers of Germany coming in. Have already chosen the German mark as the most stable money. And we see even Japan with its greatness and its money values getting afraid, which we said they would fall because the money power, whatever, it would be changed. They got haughty. Haughty spirit goes before fall, just before fall. So we see the fall of Japan coming in. What does it have to do with the land of the rising sun moving away sevenfold, the Nova, to bring in the darkness? That is to say, when they fall, it's the great money power and what they own around the world. It will indicate darkness as to the intellectual German coming in, as to where the brilliance of the natural comes in that relates back to the beast. So we realize that the end of the world is here. The blood is coming off of the seat of atonement. Gross darkness is about to cover the people. And during that time, the tribulation will come in, and they'll not even have enough understanding to perfect a bottle of medicine. We say this over and over. And they'll gnaw their tongues for pain, and they'll seek death, and death will flee from them. They won't even be able to die out of their great pain and misery. God won't even give them the relief of death to get out of their misery. And they'll gnaw their tongues with pain, and they'll be in intellectual darkness that will make them ignorant of the religious things of God. There'll be no more churches as to Baptist, Methodist, or whatever. No more grace as to faith. And they won't be able to believe anything. They'll be exiled in darkness. And it will remain that way until God brings them to the valley of blood, where the blood runs to the horse's bridle. Well, this is about all we're going to say. We're just now getting where we need to get started. But anyway, we said this to remind you that right now the end of all things is at hand. It was in the opening of the seventh seal that you will find Revelation 10 and 7. And you will find the angel standing with one foot on the land and one foot on the sea, hands raised to heaven, swearing by him that liveth forever and ever, that time should be no more, that time is at hand. Whereas John said, when the revelation come, now the time is at hand. Paul, when he had the revelation, the time was at hand. Peter said concerning those people, ye are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come, because he'd conference with Paul. And he knew with the revelation, that was it. So folks, it has come. It has come. As it was said to the Jews, I reminded you of that this morning, because you did not like to retain God in your knowledge, the truth in your knowledge, God has given the world over to a reprobate mind to believe a lie and be damned. And now the time is at hand, and the great change of the church is at hand, and the coming in of the Jews is at hand to really wage war with natural warfare. Isn't it absurd to think at this time that your president has agreed that Russia can have, I believe it was it $1 billion to strengthen them in their warfare? Isn't that something? And the Bible said, and they'll make agreements at the table with their enemy, but it won't stand. And he that eats from your table, he'll be your enemy. He'll be the one to bring the devastation upon your head. And all those covenants shall be broken, because is there any honor among thieves? Satan is a thief and a robber. And if you're of your father, the devil, is to those that do those things, then aren't you thieves and robbers? You rob the world of virtue, of understanding, of good morals, and all the other things that will upset God to the extent he'll bring the stars down upon your head as fire and brimstone. The nickel and the rock that scientists say are floating around up there as two reflectors of two stars. All right, let's stand together. We could go on and go on, but you was a good audience this morning. I had to hurry tonight to say a few things, trying to get a few things over to you, hoping that you'll hear before it's too late the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. And now the revelation conveyed on over, the sounding of the last trump, time shall be no more, the opening of the seventh seal, the beginning of the week, the heavens rolling back as a scroll, and the sign of the Son of Man appearing in heaven, and the change of the church. Why? Why? Let's sing a little chorus together. We're glad to have you. We appreciate you coming to be with us. Always glad for you to come here, Little Bethlehem, the home of the soul, actively engaged in world evangelism, having preached around the world, only doing a little bit, but preaching around the world, the message in every major language or thereabout, every major language of the world. Then we're trying to reach souls. He that winneth souls is wise and shall shine as the brightness of the noonday. You that have won souls, being on the home front to bid a thing, God speed your partakers. We're all laborers together to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And different ones visiting this morning, some coming back that's drifted off, even as we saw in the vision. Someone was here this morning. And if you don't have a church home, we invite you to come. If you do have a good church home, we're not trying to get you away from it to proselyte, but we invite you to come. We've got plenty to do here to help us. We need help. The Macedonian call, we need help. And when I say that, not in finance, God meets our finance wonderfully, takes care of it. But we need people who want to pray, people who want to fast. It doesn't take money to win souls. People get off trail with that. It doesn't require money to win souls. It requires God, and it requires the infilling of the Spirit. Even though in the world today, money answers to all things, as Solomon said, and money is used in all the facilities to pay the rent, to pay the light bill, and all these kind of things. But that's for the light bill, that's for the houses, that's for the natural things. But that still doesn't win souls. Someone said, well, I think it does. Well, I don't think it does. If it does, why doesn't the great Catholic Church, with all their money in the cathedrals, win souls? They're not winning souls. Why doesn't the Methodist, the Baptist, the Pentecostals, the Presbyterian, all of these others win souls? Only the true children of God in these churches that are filled with the Spirit are responsible for soul winning, for money doesn't break the yoke. But the anointing of God breaks the yoke, that people can come to God and see the light and be saved. But we thank God for everyone that's willing to support. The Bible said, labor that you might have to give, to love the Lord with all of your strength. all of your mind. And when you give of your substance, behold, all things are clean unto you. But that is your privilege to give. You do that, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. He'll not destroy the fruits of your ground to bring these things into the house of God. I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you'll not be able to receive. So then it's for your benefit, as it was the little widow, that God might look upon her. For the man of God was already eating. He had plenty to eat. Everything was fine. He wasn't in a famine. She was in a famine. And it took her sacrifice to stir her faith and confidence, as worked with faith that she might be saved and that she might be fed. So then it's for your benefit and not God's. All right, let's sing this little chorus. All the gold is God, all the silver is His, the cattle of 1,000 hills is His. He can that quick do whatever He wants to whenever He gets ready. You know, this morning we sang, gone, the stone is rolled back. Today, having to do with the resurrection, being Easter. Gone, the stone is rolled back. And sure enough, we said, the heart of stone has been rolled back. I want to sing that again tonight, since this is Easter, having to do with the resurrection. Gone, and the stone is rolled back. Gone, and the tomb is empty. Gone, to sit at my Father's side. Oh, He's gone, over death triumphant. Gone, sin is defeated. Gone, He's alive forevermore. Can you sing with me? For He's gone, and the stone is rolled back. Gone, and the tomb is empty. Gone, to sit at my Father's side. For He's gone, 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 He's alive. I want you to sing it with me like this now, like we sing it this morning. For I'm gone, the heart of stone's been rolled back. Gone, my fleshly tomb, it's empty. Gone, to sit at my Father's side. Ye are they that dwell in heaven. For I'm gone, over death triumphant, passed from death unto life. Sin is defeated, the law folded up and laid away. No more transgression, no more sin, for sin is the transgression of the law. So we're gone, the heart of stone, it's rolled back. Gone, the fleshly tomb, it's empty. Gone, to sit at my Father's side. For we're gone, over death triumphant. Gone, sin is defeated. Gone, we're alive forevermore. Across the bridge, there's no more sorrow. Across the bridge, there's no more pain. And the sun's gonna shine across the river, and I'll never be unhappy again. In this life we're living in, I have lived the life of sin. I've done forbidden things I shouldn't do. I met my Savior along the way. I asked him for a place to stay where there is real happiness and love, it's true. Sat across the bridge, there's no more sorrow. Sat across the bridge, there's no more pain. Lord, the sun's gonna shine out across the waters, and I'll never be unhappy again. Sing it one more time. Set across the bridge, there ain't no more sorrow. Set across the bridge, there's no more pain. And the sun's gonna shine across the river, and we'll never be unhappy again. I read in the Bible where God so loved, gave his son to die in the stead. And he gave his life on the cruel cross of Calvary. Thank God for his wonderful grace. Thank God, there's a bridge over the river. Someday, gonna see his sweet babe. With him, gonna abide that forever. Thank God for his wonderful grace. I read where he said, let not your heart trouble, I go to prepare you a place. Gates of pearl, streets of gold, new walls of jasper. Thank God for his wonderful grace. Thank God there's a bridge over the rivers. They see. I'll abide there forever. Thank God. One more time together. Thank God. Why don't we all just come to the altar tonight? The day having to do with the resurrection. Tomorrow with us is the Sabbath. As to the new day of the first day of the week. But why don't we all come tonight, make a new dedication to God. Thank God. Bridge over the river someday, gonna see his sweet face. With him, gonna abide there forever. Thank God for his wonderful grace. One more time. Thank God, there's a bridge over the river someday, gonna see his sweet face. With him, gonna abide there forever. Thank God for his wonderful grace. When I stand upon the mountain, looking o'er into the city, gives me faith that I can make it after all. So tall, looking o'er into the city. Lord, said he's preparing, gives me faith that I can make it after all. Let's sing this little chorus together. Jesus gave her water that wasn't from the well. Jesus gave her water, she went forth to tell. When I was singing and she came back bringing others to this water that wasn't from man's well. Jesus gave her water, wasn't from the well. Jesus gave her water, and she went forth to tell. When I was singing, and she came back, bringing others to this water that wasn't from the well. Oh, he poured in the oil and the wine. Jesus poured in the oil and the wine. Found me bleeding and dying on the Jericho road. He poured in the oil. Jesus poured in the oil and the wine. It's the wine that restoreth my soul. I'm dying on the Jericho road, and he poured in the oil and the wine. So he poured in the oil and the wine. It's the wine that restoreth my soul. Found me bleeding and dying on the Jericho road. He poured in the oil and the wine. Somebody say hallelujah. What can he do with a life that's stooped in sin? What can he do when you have no hope within? Lift up the fallen man out of the sinking sand to Calvary's saving plan. That's what he can do. What can he do for you, though helpless, sad, and blue? He'll do what other powers can never do, or he'll hear every time you pray and drive all the clouds. He'll turn darkest night into day. That's what he can do. Oh, what can he do for you? Though helpless, sad, and blue, he'll do what other powers can. And drive all the clouds away. Turn darkest night to day. That's what he can do. Let's lift our hands up together. If you've never given your heart to God, now's the time. Paul said, I am persuaded to believe that God is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against the great day. And as you see the day approaching, exhort each other the more, so we know that the day is approaching and we are exhorting the more. And if you've not made the commitment, now's the time to give your heart to God. Call upon the name of the Lord. Ask God to forgive your sins. Be saved. We sing that song. Be saved. Oh, why not tonight? why not tonight? Be saved. Be saved before it's too late. Be saved. Close your eyes, lift your hands, and let's sing this little chorus. Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, we will come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. And I will praise Him, I will praise Him, praise the Lamb for sinners slain, and I'll give Him glory. All His blood that's washed away. Can you lift your hands and close your eyes? So I close your eyes, lift your hands, search your heart, examine your heart, see if you be in the faith tonight. Ask Brother John Jameson to come to dismiss us, and while John is coming, let's look to Christ. Let's call on the name of the Lord Jesus. And let's ask Him to help us. For Jesus said, without Him, as to the Father, I can do nothing, nothing of myself. It is not I that doeth the works, even the mighty works that He done. He said, but it is the Father that dwelleth within me. So tonight, let's remember that as we sing. Can we? I will praise.